You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Back for another review for Telltale's The Walking Dead, A New Frontier, episode 4. What's this called? Thicker than water, thicker than blood, or whatever the hell it is.
Thicker than water. Nothing's thicker than blood.
That's true.
That's the whole point.
That's what this episode tries to shove down our throats. Like, because David, he's such a great guy, such a great character, even though he's a total prick every time we meet him.
I like him.
I know you do, John. That's because, I was an only child, so it's just like, who needs him? Needs siblings?
Yeah, I think that's the case. It's like, I don't necessarily like him. I just know I should put up with him.
I get it. But welcome, everyone, to We Are Air Reviews. I am Christopher J. Herman.
I am your boy, John Romo.
And we are joined by two people for this episode, reviewing this Telltale episode. And, of course, we're joined by regular Justin Zarian. Justin, how you doing, sir?
Double the guests, double the action. Yeah, I'm doing great.
Great. Fantastic. Thanks, Justin. We're also joined by Nick Ties of UGO Podcast. Nick, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing just well. Also, a catchy one-liner. I didn't know we were doing that. I wasn't prepared.
See, that's the thing. Justin's on top of it. He always has like a catchy one-liner to open all these things. I do. It's like he puts a lot of effort into this. You know,
I'm like Chris.
I feel like I gotta hide in the bushes like Spicer. So Sean Spicer. Gotta pull a Spicer.
Oh yeah, do that. Just gonna go like do that Homer Simpson thing where you just like absorb yourself back into the bush or whatever.
Yes,
that would be awesome. Getting political as we always do in We Are Air. But as I said, we're reviewing, what the hell is this thing called again?
Tales, The Walking Dead, A New Frontier, Episode 4, Thicker Than Water.
Thicker Than Water.
Yes, thicker than Blood. Because nothing is thicker than blood.
Thicker than water.
Semicolon, The Revengeing.
I don't think it's true. I think like tar is thicker than, you know, thicker than blood, whatever. But I just felt that we should just kind of give our general impressions of the episode before going to the big spoilers, the big decisions that we all made, which there were a number of pretty cool ones, I would say.
Yeah.
Although they kind of don't yield to anything, like as in typical kind of fourth episode fashion of all Telltale games. But for myself, I kind of thought this was the weakest episode of the entire season so far, which is saying something, because I think I've been probably the most negative out of everyone who's reviewed the game. It's really kind of affirmed how I think just like poorly written some of these characters are in this season, particularly David and Gabe, who I just find really annoying. You know, they try to make David, I think, like a complicated character, but he just consistently always comes off as an asshole, even though they try to make a great effort to make him endearing. And I think it just really comes across like how that's just failing consistently, particularly in the beginning of the episode when you kind of go and you have like it's a flashback sequence. It's like, oh, it's like a brotherly relationship. It's like, it's really not. And then of course with Gabe, man, he's just annoying little shit. And I cannot wait until he dies. Maybe he does die. He didn't die in my episode, but, I certainly hope he does die. Some of the, I noticed a few kind of technical problems, probably more so than any other Walking Dead episode so far. Well, maybe the exception of episode 2 where it ignored my decisions. But here where there were some character models that were missing, noticed a few kind of floating eyeballs at one point without any faces. I don't know if anyone else kind of encountered those problems, but we'll get into that second. But yeah, overall, I felt this was just a really kind of weak episode. I mean, that's saying something because typically, like I said, fourth episodes in Telltale, series are kind of disappointing overall. So for me, I just really didn't care for this at all. John?
Yeah, I will have to agree. I do think it's the weakest episode for sure. The writing is a little weird in this one. I think the game was trying to push me when it didn't really warrant it. Like,
yeah.
Gabe is extra annoying in this episode, and I don't know why. Like, part of it, I get it as a character thing where he really cares about his dad, but sometimes he is just kind of being more teenage boyish than he's been up to this point. And there's a big difference in Gabe from, like, episode 3 to Gabe in episode 4. And if that had hinted at a little more, then it would have made more sense. David, I still like, I don't like him. I like him from the point of, I can put myself in Javi's shoes. Where, like, this is my brother. When he's an asshole, I still stand by him. That's the point. Like, family. Like, I get it. And I think there's for me at the beginning of the episode, it really works. Just that whole dynamic. And I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit. But later on in the episode, he just seems to take turns because it needs conflict. Whereas I think in episode 3, he would do that, but he would also know when to step down. Mm-hmm. Like, as if he knew, he had a sense of understanding. Whereas here it's like, oh, we need more conflict because we need 5 episodes. And so it felt more like that. Like, they felt constricted to make sure there's 5 episodes. So let's have people cause trouble when they're, it just didn't fit with what I think they would have done before.
Yeah. Justin, what about yourself? What do you think of this episode overall?
You know, I found out it wasn't that bad, honestly. Like, I played through it, kind of expecting it to be weak, just because, one, the season 4 curse that we've explained before, and 2, I had been seeing some negative reviews, and that's why I put it off playing it for a little bit, other than the fact that my computer still didn't work for a while. But, you know, I found it was all right. I mean, I do agree that the game does push you a bit. It does make a few assumptions of things they think you want, but at the same time, it also does some things that I thought were, at least on a writing level, kind of clever with the characters, the way they interact, the way certain choices were put up, especially one that we'll probably get to later on. That's one of those big, like, haha, you thought you were getting this, but, you know, kind of ending. from that, I mean, I didn't dislike it. I found that I like the way that the characters are kind of flip-floppy. I mean, except for one dumb thing that Gabe does in particular, everyone else seemed like they were balanced out enough. And they even did some callback stuff that I thought was kind of clever with, you know, things early in the episodes, like, oh yeah, I know they were going to address that at some point. So I liked it enough. I wasn't blown away, but I enjoyed it.
Nick, what about yourself?
Well, geez, I either got to stop agreeing with you guys so much or stop going last because you guys covered everything. Yeah, I feel a lot of the same way. This is the Peace Mover one. Every Telltale series has at least one or two Peace Mover episodes, and this is the one for this. So that's just how it is. It's setting up a bunch of conflicts for the next episode, and it's just not balanced narratively very well. But it's not awful. It has, I don't know, this whole season has had kind of higher highs than season 2, but lower lows as well. And one of those lower lows is Gabe, or as I like to call him, you thought you hated Ben from season 1. But yeah, I think David, now I hate David, but I think David is a fucking interesting character, and he's been really interesting this whole time. But I also don't like him. It's a really interesting dynamic, the character they've built here, and I really actually kind of like not liking him, if that makes any sense. I feel like Javi is a little less sympathetic just because he doesn't feel like he has as much agency in this episode. He's really kind of following more everyone else's lead, it feels like, more than really making some assertive decisions. But some of the decisions you do make are actually some of my favorite ones in this series. So call me a mixed bag leaning on the negative for this episode, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up David and you talk about how you like that you dislike him. And I can understand that, especially, you know, I mean, there's plenty of villains in movies where it's like, oh man, I hate them, but I like them. Where in this case, it's just, David just feels like a contradiction constantly throughout this series where he's always presented in such a way where, yeah, he's an asshole. But then everyone, like other characters around him always say, oh, despite that, he's a great guy. He's awesome. And I've never seen that moment with him, that moment where it's like, that builds that connection. And I think that really comes out with the kind of the first decision you make with David, particularly where it's this flashback sequence where Javi and David are at kind of like these batting cages and they're kind of trying to have like a bonding moment, talking about family, about their relationship in general. And David, like, it's like everything like needs to be a competition with him. Like where, you know, Javi, he's just like, he's hitting these baseballs much better than David is. But for whatever reason, David just, he's like consistently angry that Javi is better at him at something. And that always feels so weird. And then David's just like, oh, why are you mad at me? It's just like, well, dude, you're he's like a powder keg waiting to go off at every second. And I just don't see how this brother relationship exists. It's clearly based on something we just haven't seen. And yeah, you can tell me that, oh, he's a great guy. All these characters say, well, he did this and did that, but we don't see it. And I think this episode really makes that, that just is a real issue for this episode. And it always comes across inauthentic to me, the relationship between, David and Javi.
It's funny, and don't take this the wrong way, but you saying that, I think you have a fundamental, like, a misunderstanding of it, of, yeah, like, how these two people work. It's one, yeah, a lot of it isn't there, and I think it is interesting to hear you talk about it, because as someone who's not a brother,
sure,
I think that plays a lot into it, because when they go to that thing, it's like, why'd Javi take him here? Like, Javi is here to make himself feel better. And like, David is very, and we've known this the whole time, that like, he, if he's not in this like war torn sort of army sense, he feels worthless and he doesn't understand his place in the world. And I felt like an asshole. Like because at first I wasn't hitting the ball out of the park. Especially the second time I did it, I was like, oh, this is actually hurting David's feelings. Cause like, I'm here showing off. Like, I am the successful brother who did mess up, but was still able to reach some success and like had a fan show up and everything. Like, David does not have that and he never will have that. And so like, I understand that there's jealousy going on. I don't ever think, and maybe I'm missing something, but I don't think anyone ever says David's this great guy, other than like Kate says it because she's his wife and Javi will say it because it's his brother. Right. And like, that's the thing. It's family. You just don't, that's the whole point. You just, yeah, you can admit they have flaws, but you also at the same time, you're always like, they're still great at their heart.
I just don't see those moments. I never, because they're saying this, they're not showing it. And kind of Javi trying to make himself feel better. I think, I mean, you understand why his career was ruined. This is like kind of the only place where he can, you know, relax and be himself to a certain extent. Like, David is always consistently putting down Javi at every single turn.
Can I give a third perspective here? Because I see both ahead, your points here, and you're both right and you're both wrong.
Okay? Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
trust me, I date a psychologist. I know what I'm talking about. And also, I'm an older brother, so I get this family relationship. Now, why I like that I don't like David is because his relationship feels real. It feels like a really contentious brotherly relationship. And the fact that he is trying, he took actually Javi there to cheer him up. But even though he's trying to make his brother happy, he thinks he's doing the right thing. He can't help himself. Because even if you don't show off, even if you miss on purpose, he's then mad at you for patronizing him. There's no winning. Yeah. There's no winning with David. And the reason David's relationship is so toxic is because his love is conditional. It depends on the situation. It depends on what's happening at the time, whether or not he's with you or not. But he expects utmost loyalty from you at all times. It is the textbook definition of an abusive relationship, and it's very apparent with Kate that she was in an abusive relationship, but Javi's also in an abusive relationship, and that's what I kind of love about Javi, is that their relationship is constantly, you will always, you know, or at least how I played him, I always, you know, make excuses for him, like, this is not who he really is, you just don't know what, you weren't there at the time. Everyone is always making excuses for David. Except for David. David always thinks he's in the right. And
well, it's not only... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go for it, Justin. I was done.
Well, and I was just going to say, too, like, David is a guy who is a conflict, like, fueled person. Like, he is a guy who is not content sitting down,
yes,
being himself, being, you know, he has to be doing something. He has to be doing something. Either puts himself in a situation that he's in opposition to somebody, or he has to be active, you know, very proactive. And that's what I said, too. Like, I completely agree with Nick on that one, is that he is a very nuanced relationship in that case, because, you know, you want to like David. He has good qualities in him, but at the same time, he's a hothead. He is a guy who needs to feel like he's in charge of something. If he's not in charge, he needs to feel like he can become in charge of something. I mean, that kind of leads to a lot of the stuff that happens in the episode, which, you know, also thinking about that batting cage, can I say, just screw that kid who wanted you to sign his ball? Because I'm like, okay, dude. He's like, yeah, hey, sign your name, but don't do it that way because your value might depreciate with this. I'm just like, oh, screw you, kid.
Yeah, I wrote it where it's like, not for resale.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the options, right?
Yeah, crush that kid's dreams. Fuck him.
Absolutely. Oh, totally. I was just like, fuck this kid. I was like, I don't give a shit. I don't care about anyone in this episode. Everyone's going to die. That's kind of like just go back to the decisions. I mean, the first big one for the episode is, did you promise that you would help Kate with the family if David left for the military? I promised that I would help Kate because Kate's probably one of the only characters I actually do like and I want to help her. So, John, what did you do?
It's fun. It's funny. Well, yeah, I did the same thing, but it's funny you say that Kate is the one person you do like. As the episode continues to go on, I like her less. It's very strange. Justin?
Yeah, no, I agreed to help her as well. And I think it's interesting the way you say it's strange, because it's also kind of a weird, semi-nuanced, semi-whatever kind of relationship with Kate, because the whole dynamics of, like, you know, intimacy and romance. But we'll get into that in a sec. Nick, what did you think?
I decided to say, yeah, I'll promise to help out Kate and your family because I like them and I want you to leave because it's better for David's right. It's better for everyone if he leaves. It's sad, but that's the only place he feels at home. There's a reason he feels like he's thriving in the zombie apocalypse, because he can't function in a normal relationship, a normal setting. So I thought that was just best for everybody.
That is certainly true. Mm. And then kind of leading into that, or Justin, do you have something to say?
No, I was just agreeing. So, like that.
Okay. Do more of that. I like that.
Yes, that's good. Yes. No, Justin's always agreeing with Nick nowadays. It's like, oh, man, they're just starting the whole thing.
You see the divide starting up here. Team UGO versus Team We Are Error.
Oh, that's cool. We should have like a battle of some kind. Oh, eventually we'll. That would be cool.
I feel like it would more be like a slap fight from South Park.
Probably won't be like that. So the next big decision was, how did you respond to Dr. Lingard's request to help him commit suicide? Now, just before this decision, I thought it was like, I hate to say this. It's weird because I'm going to say this might be my favorite moment in the episode.
Mine too.
Because it's your conversation with Clem.
Oh, yeah.
And where you learn Clementine is growing up. And I mean, I'm just going to say it. She's menstruating. She's on her period. And it's just like, whoa. I mean, I guess I knew that would happen, but it's just weird. Cause I don't think of that character in that way. To me, she's the little girl still. And to be like, oh shit, it's just very weird and just awkward. But I like that moment kind of really conveyed that with Javi, because he's really the only figure in her life right now that can be a guiding force. And the fact that he has that conversation with her, even though it is awkward, as I just kind of stumbled trying to explain it.
Yeah.
It felt like the most intimate and real moment, in the series, at least in this episode for me right now, and probably one of the most intimate moments in the entire season so far.
I gotta say, I know we're not done with this review, but talking about it with you guys for a second makes me fall in love with this season a lot more, because one, we're talking about, like, I don't know, we didn't dive into the PTSD aspect of what David's going through, but this mental issue that he's doing, this brother-family relationship, the subtle intimacy and romance, maybe even betrayal between like Kate and Javi. And what you said about, I just still see Clem as like this kid. It's about, like, that says a lot about the way men can see females and their sexuality and, like, compared to violence and our just sort of disillusionment with violence. This kid has killed so many people.
Yes.
And, like, is brutal and will backstab anyone. But you get all nervous talking about her on her period. And it's just, like, I think that is so interesting, like, what this episode alone is doing. It doesn't always dive deep into these things, but man, it's starting some good conversations. I think that was a cool moment,
because that's a really good point. I totally agree.
She's super vulnerable,
yeah,
because she understands violence, but this is so new, and like,
she
was with Lee. She had a dad, she never had a mom. Mm-hmm. And so like, that is just a whole nother can of worms. And I was like, you are weak in this moment. Like, you don't know what to do. And like, throughout the other episodes, it's kind of like you can look to Clem. Like, Clem kind of would know what to do. Mm-hmm. And now you're just like, you can go talk to Kate. And it's just, it's so cool. I like it
Or I liked it where I explained it to her in such a way where I was like, and you know, getting over my initial like, awkwardness and realizing, because I still think of Clem as it's the father thing.
She's
my little girl. And that kind of thing is just, it's weird.
Yeah.
You know, trying to explain that to someone who I quote unquote seen grow up in this series. So yeah, like I said, it's this really great moment. I mean, Justin Justin, did you have like any similar thoughts to that?
Well, I had an interesting thought with that too, because along with that bit when Javi and her are talking about this stuff, there's that flashback that Clem has with either Jane or Kenny or whatever, which I'm not sure what the Jane part happened, because I went back and changed my path to have Kenny with it. But there's that whole thing about the idea of Clem being motherly. You know, it's like, well, yeah, you're becoming a woman. You might become a mother someday if you want to. And then you flashback to this bit where you have, like, you know, either whoever you brought with you or not, you know, kind of talk about it. It's like, yeah, hey, so, you know, I see the way that you project AJ. At least this is what happened with me and Kenny. And it was just interesting the way that dynamic went, where, again, Kenny is one of those characters I have such a back-and-forth relationship as well, along with David, but it was a very sweet scene. It was a scene that was needed to give juxtaposition to what Javi and Clem were talking about. That way you're like, okay, I see this is not just a one-time discussion. This is like a long thematic element that's being discussed. And I thought it was handled very tactfully on my part. Did you have any thoughts on that, Nick, as well?
Yeah, I this was my favorite moment of the episode because I've kind of come to a realization that, like, well, nothing's going to be as good as Lee and Clementine's relationship from season one. But this is a moment that really reminded me of that relationship. Javi felt like a place, kind of like a, you know, Lee's not here, I have to talk about this with somebody. This is basically the most, the person I can relate to the most, or has, you know, not tried to kill me recently. So, and it felt like being back with Lee and Clementine, where Clementine was this vulnerable little girl. And to go back with it, it was not so much that Clementine is as a girl. I see her so much as a competent adult in season three, that I forget that she's going through just childhood stuff and that she's got a whole life to live ahead of her. And it's kind of sad, but yet kind of uplifting. Like, man, this kid has her whole life ahead of her and has like some new stuff to experience. And this was the hardest decision for me because that's right before the doctor. Like, we have to decide the doctor's fate versus helping out Clem find her kid. And it's a tough one because that's a morally, real morally questionable decision. Like, what did everybody pick? Now that we're talking about that,
I was gonna say one thing too. Is just like it's nice to have such a sensitive and caring conversation right after treating a knife wound that Gabe caused. You know, right before, where it's like, okay, yeah, we're bleeding out of one here, but here we talk about some other bleeding. It's a weird, like, total juxtaposition there.
Yes, yeah, all that the wonderful awkwardness. I mean, for myself, I killed him. I didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm going to help Clem. So I was like, I do not care about.
Man, you were with Clem to the end, aren't you?
Yep. Yes, I am.
Damn. I will say it was one of the decisions in this episode where I was like,
sure.
Because it's just, it is like, I feel like you could help the dude somehow. And it's when I hated the limitation of the game. Because right after I make the decision, he tells you and then you put it in. And I'm just like, well, if he told me, I could have just not done it, and I'd rather not do it. But yeah, I think you know, something he wanted, and maybe that's just like how I feel on the whole matter of that kind of thing is like he wanted it, I guess, and like he was just gonna hurt himself. So. Yeah,
or could have hurt other people as well. Yeah. Justin, what about you?
Yeah, I struggled with this one as well because I'm like, well, I don't know how well it is to euthanize somebody, even though this guy clearly is just, every time we've seen this dude, he's a sad sack. He's just this burned out, druggy creep, pretty much. I mean, not even creep. He's just, he clearly just has some really troubling issues.
He's given up.
Yeah, no, he's given up. And that's the thing, that his only pleasure and outlet is through, is it morphine that they said that he's addicted to, or?
I mean, prescription medications, probably morphine, that kind of thing, so.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so I actually decided that I would not euthanize him. It was a tough decision, but I kind of felt like, well, I don't know if this will play out to anything, but maybe it might, you know, where I don't have to justify murdering somebody just to get this one thing. I mean, it's telltale, so the odds are I might circle around anyways, but that's what I kind of figured at least. What about you, Nick?
I convinced myself the whole, the first, like, when the bar goes down for, like, the 3/4 of that bar, I was convincing myself to do it. So I'm like, okay, we need to find this kid. This is the best way to find Clem's kid. I don't want to piss off Clem because I need her later. This doctor is obviously a burnout. He probably wouldn't be that much help anyway. But then I started to think, well, maybe I need him later for when we try and, you know, free David and get maybe get him some political clout because he had a higher position in this place. So I was thinking about all it logically. So I was moving my way to do it. But then the last second, I don't know, I just couldn't do it. I hit the circle. I got scared and I didn't do it. And right afterwards, I was like, oh my God, that was so tense. I loved that. I loved not knowing until the very last minute whether or not I was going to compromise myself and murder this and euthanize this guy in order to appease a child. Did you see that at the end, there's a thing where you could have let Clem decide? Like,
yeah, I saw that option.
Wait, really?
I didn't know how to do that. Like, I thought it was like, I didn't see that in the option wheel. I thought it was just between the two.
Apparently a lot of people didn't because only 1.3% of players let Clementine decide his fate. So,
because I might have done that if I'd have known that was an option.
Again, yeah, it's that thing that Telltale hides their gameplay mechanics where we can't see them. You know, just like, hey guys, just make it just give us a little break here. We're not detectives. We need to point out a few things.
Maybe you got to let the bar run out or something and just not make a decision.
Isn't that also the thing? The whole point is like, I don't know. Just if you were in that situation, wouldn't it? You would be so tense and so scared that you would think I only have these two options. And you wouldn't, you also wouldn't really want to put that decision on a child, I think.
Yeah.
And so, like,
or what we perceive to be a child.
It's, yeah, it's just like,
you can make our own decision.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm starting to love this episode.
Yeah. Oh man, here we go. But then that kind of goes to the next big decision. I think probably the one where I was just, even though I like this character because she's probably the one thing I'm just like, yeah, you're fine. You're not annoying me. It just felt so awkward and ham-fisted and just so obvious as if you told Kate that you had feelings for her. I mean, for myself, I said I did because it's like, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, you know, it's just like to get you away from David because I just don't like David. And I just want to spite him all the more. So I had my reasons, which I think are going to be very different from everyone else's. But John, what about you?
Oh, yeah, I told her that I don't have feelings for her. You're right. The delivery of it is a little off. Yeah. I like when they're talking about Gabe and Clementine in that thing. I like them talking about that. But the way she starts trying to say her feelings, and maybe that's clunky because like it's a weird situation for her to try and say that. But again, when she does this, because she's done it and hinted at it multiple times, which it was fine when we thought David was dead, because I think in that situation, it's more like, I mean, we're here to take care of each other. And it's kind of like, that's what we are. Like, it would be weird to not let ourselves indulge in that, when we have very little to, but when David's around and she still kind of wants to be with you, I'm kind of like, why are you doing this? Like, you have to drop it.
Well, I'm actually the complete opposite. Just kind of interject there. It's where it's like it's obvious that she's in a loveless marriage with David, and for whatever reason she married him, we don't know.
Yeah, because
we're not shown it, which is a problem. I still like, based on how David's behavior has been, I totally get why she would not want to be with him again.
I understand that, but don't be with me. Is the point?
Okay,
like don't get in the way of two brothers. And again, this brother thing is like don't. Don't do that.
Yeah. See, I just think differently. I want to bring up before we, Justin and Nick, I just want to bring up one thing. I really find this forced relationship between Clementine and Gabe super awkward. It doesn't make any sense based on their personalities and the lives that they've lived so far. Gabe is just sheltered little brat, and where Clementine is very worldly and she's a survivor. How can these two people have any type of relationship? How can they find common ground? It's so weird. It reminds me of, again, I'm going back to season two, when you meet this other character, this other girl, who I forget her name in that season, but like she's, again, very sheltered. She's kind of in her own world.
Oh, the daughter of that one guy?
Yeah. Of the doctor in season two. She's kind of, you know, selfish a little bit. She doesn't understand how things really are, how serious things really are. And it's like there's an instant disconnect between her and Clementine, even though you can play Clementine where she's trying to help her, trying to let her come out of her shell. And it's just here, it doesn't work. I'm just like, why are you trying to do this? They're just trying to force all these romances in this one scene.
Can I tell you how I read it? Because this is,
Nick, go ahead.
This helped me.
Justin can go.
I think Clementine has learned from her previous experiences, like with that girl she tried to open up with Ben specifically. She's seen how that's gone with, and I feel like her interactions with Gabe have been, for lack of that, I think she's kind of just playing him. She's placating him and been like, I need this guy to not fuck up so consistently. So I'm gonna pretend like, hey, you're my buddy, right? Because Clementine is not dumb. She knows what people need to hear, when she needs to be hard, when she can open up. She's very emotionally smart. I don't see why she would be into Gabe. Like, I don't think she'd hate him or anything, but I feel like that Gabe is definitely into her because he is a teenage boy, and he just...
Sure, I get that.
Yeah, yeah. And he has a dick, so I guess he has an excuse. I don't know. But Clem, I feel like I haven't seen anything from her definitively saying that, like, I have feelings for Gabe. And until I see that, I'm gonna read it as, yeah, I'm you know, going along with this because it's better for everybody if I go with this rather than, you know, tell him that he's an asshole to his face.
Right. And who did you tell Kate that you had feelings for her?
Yeah, I did. And I actually like the relationship between Kate because I was like, you know what, these two together for a long time, you know, pressed together in tight quarters, some things are going to happen. There was something before even the apocalypse happened. You could tell in the flashbacks there was a little something there before. Kate's at least into you, whether or not you're into her as well. And I thought that, like, you know what, I like Kate, and I was willing to, when David came back on the picture, I was like, okay, things got weird. We don't need to make things more complicated than they already are. I'm gonna back off. Like, if she doesn't want to pursue it, that's totally cool. I'm gonna back up from everything. But when she wakes up, she's like, we gotta get the fuck out of here. The one of the only good things about the zombie apocalypse was I was away from that motherfucker. So I'm kind of like, okay, if that's how you feel, then yeah, I guess I'm cool with that, as long as we both are consensual about it.
Justin, what about you? I mean, what choice did you make, and how did you kind of feel how they handled the romance between Kate and Javi, and then with, you know, maybe between Gabe and Clem?
I don't know how much I can offer that you guys haven't already said. I mean,
sucks going last, doesn't it?
I know it does. It really does. I can say the one thing, though, that along with both Kate and Javi's relationship and Gabe and Clem's relationship, it seems like it's a matter of desperation in a couple cases, like with Clem and Gabe. Sorry, I can't remember these names anymore. Everyone's the same. I felt it was a situation where it's more like, well, there's clearly no other children characters in this thing, and you're my age, so it seems like it's kind of a, well, I guess that's good for right now situation for both of them. And at least there was one instance where it seemed like Clem was, like, at least kind of into it, where there's a thing like, oh, hey, look, I got you a new pistol. Oh, I don't need that.
Yeah.
Well, I could use two pistols. And I don't know why, just the idea of Batman Arkham City always pops up like, two guns, you know, when that happens. But I mean, I thought it was fine. It is a little forced, especially when they start playing that card game. What was that called again? Like, Yurik? I don't remember.
I don't know. Some doofy card game. John...
A Yu-Gi-Oh substitute. That's what I thought.
Yeah, probably was that.
Euchre? What is that, John?
I have no idea. Okay. I just remember what they said.
I thought it was Goldfish.
How many mana do you need to tap to play that?
How many monsters do I have to sacrifice to summon another field?
you gotta summon Exodia. That's a thing, right? That game? I know.
Well, that takes too long, man.
And your blue eyes, white dragon, I think?
Yes.
That's another one?
Yes.
Got it. John, I get the sense that you have something that you really want to say in regards.
Oh, yeah, I didn't finish yet, though.
Go ahead, Justin.
But I do.
I know. I feel like I was just so finished. I did agree with flirting with Kate and deciding to try it, because it was at this point that it's kind of clear that, again, they, whether or not they're a good fit for each other, they kind of mesh with each other the way they've interacted, and it feels like it makes more sense than letting her stay with David, because David's clearly down a bad road one way or the other. I mean, as much as I like him and want to support him as that brotherly character, it seems like he's kind of, you know, there's really not much saving him. So I kind of just said, like, you know what, screw it, I'll try, see what it goes. It kind of makes the ending a little bit more interesting, but we'll get to that.
John,
here we go. Yeah, it's just like your guys' relationship with Clem is so different from mine.
Yeah.
Okay, so first off, Justin said they're all the same. That's racist. Nick had said how, like, when he was talking about Kate and Javi, he's like, they've been so close together, like, mm-hmm. they've been around each other, like, okay, just let it happen. Clem and Gabe are the same age and they've been close around each other. Like, it just would happen. And you the way you're just like, I don't know, you have this dad mentality. And no, hold on.
It's not
hold
dad
on,
mentality.
Hold on, but you're also like, the way these relationships, like, they're two different types of people. Why would they work? Because Clem's going through puberty. She's just like, whatever. I don't think it's as calculated as Nick thinks it is. I think it's, okay, so like, this is a little earlier in the, or later in the episode, but when Gabe like is throwing a fit and then Clem kind of like reaches out to him, that felt a little more tactical. Like, oh, I'm understanding that he does like me. Like, maybe he'll listen to me. Mm-hmm. And like, that feels more tactile, but at the same time, there's a sweetness in her eyes or in her voice. Or it was a good delivery where it came across as like, I don't want you to do anything dumb either. I understand where your passion is coming from, but I do care about you and I don't want you to get any of us hurt and I don't want you to get yourself hurt. Mm-hmm. So please just like calm down. And then, so like, I definitely, as a boy, I understand like Gabe's reactions to her. Whereas in Clem's reaction, I'm not a boy or I'm not a girl, so I can't quite understand it, but it's more like she's been alone. This is the first, I don't know, person of the opposite gender, especially during this period of her life, like this whole puberty situation where she's around someone like this all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, people pick on you when you're a little kid and you still like them for some reason. Like, I don't think at that age it really matters that way. You're going through so many emotions and so many feelings that it's kind of like, okay, like this is nice. And like, he's treating me right. And he likes me and he brought me a gun and he brought me something and he's trying to cheer me up. And it's like, Gabe is nice to her and he's not coming at from a place where it's like he doesn't have an ulterior motive. So I can see why she's like, this is nice. Like, this person is treating me right and he's my age and we can relate on some sort on that level. And so like, I can see her not like being in love with him, but like enjoying him. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I can really, respect that from John. I think that's a really good point. I didn't think about it that way before, and I can really see it easier. And also, fuck you for using my logic against me and proving your point. You son of a bitch. But
yeah, well, I just disagree. So I poo poo on your logic.
Chris and all of us are too close to Clem, but John is too close to David. I feel like all of us are too close to one character to judge objectively.
I mean, that's what makes this discussion so great. Just kind of moving on from that, it's like the next big decision was, who did you save at the execution? Man, this is
the weakest decision.
This is the weakest decision.
Who cares?
Because it's not really a decision. You have no control. Now I'm going to switch it up. Nick, what did you choose? And how did you feel about that?
Oh, you gave me the least interesting decision. I go first? Really?
Yes.
Really? The one no one cares about? Trip, I guess. Whatever. I flipped a coin on it. I don't know Ava, but seems nice enough. She's stuck with David, so it makes sense for her to come around. Trip has always been kind of one step away from, you know, like, I kind of like the fact that you give him great relationship advice of how to hook up with Eleanor, even though Eleanor's crushing on you, but hey, you can't help that. You're just you're sexy. I mean, what's a guy going to do? What's Hobby going to do?
And baseball players, man, they get him.
I mean, it's a real Kenny move for me to back you up on every one of your plays for you to just come at me when Gabe says something stupid about your friend, and then suddenly that's it. And then I'm like, well, I know Trip longer. I feel like if I have to go against David, I'll need his loyalty. So I'm like, I guess I'll take Trip, but honestly, I just didn't really care.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this kind of decision just overall felt like. And we'll get into why. Justin, who did you try to save?
I will say this. I got this kind of spoiled for me that there was a, you know, flipperoo decision, and I kind of figured out which decision it was. So knowing that and the process of elimination, kind of like what Nick was saying, I'm just like, you know what? Trip's kind of outlived his usefulness, so he dies. And it was just, it was one of those things, again, like, I couldn't care one way or the other. Trip, by that point, just like, yeah, screw you, you killed Conrad! And it's like, oh, yeah, because he threatened my, you know, my nephew, and he threatened Clementine. If I was going to let him do that, then no way. So it wasn't that hard a decision to make. I mean, at the same time, who knows if the other girl would really, you know, be a benefit, but it, again, it's one of those binary decisions where it's like, well, she's going to probably die by the end of the episode anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
John, who did you try to say?
This one was telegraphed for me. I didn't look up any spoilers or anything, but as it was going on, I was like, Joan seems like she's not going to do what I say. So like in my head, I thought, well, Trip's mad at me for kind of no. I get why he's mad, but at the same time, I had a good reason, and I explained to you. And like, if you were in my situation, you would have done the same thing, Trip. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to help you this whole time. Yeah. You ain't getting any. Sorry.
I mean, to be fair, it's hard to explain. Like in episode two, where it's like, so what happened down there? Oh, he threatened my nephew, so I shot his brains out. I mean, I don't know if that would have been the right answer to do, but you know.
Yeah. The other thing is like, I thought, especially I was thinking in the context of like, whoever I pick, she's gonna kill the person I want to save.
Yeah.
So. The safe choice seemed to be to save Ava, because I was like, I do want her. I want to save her. And if I choose her, like, David's going to see that I chose his person, and he's going to like that, and he's going to choose that.
All for David. It's all for you, David.
Well, he is hitting brand news, to be fair.
So. Yes.
The other side of the coin, the other side of the coin was like, I don't care if Trip dies, but also I know if I don't, if I say kill Trip, and she doesn't kill Trip, she kills the other girl.
Yes.
Trip will be someone who's like, we got to get out of here anyway. Because if she does that, I know all hell's breaking loose. So, yeah. Like, he'd be more willing to work with me than I think Ava would. So.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to save Ava because he's like, okay, you're the only one that's making sense right now. Everyone's getting too emotional. There's stuff we got to get out of here.
And it's
of
course, Walking Dead. Joan, that's par for the course. They always get emotional.
I know. But with and then Joan says, I'm gonna kill the person you picked to save, and then she does that. So I got stuck with Trip. I'm like, shit.
She grows a mustache like, just to twirl it.
pretty much. And the thing is, it's just like, I don't like that, because what's the point? What's the thing that always reads like in front of these episodes? The choices tailor your experience. It's like, that case, it didn't, you know? Maybe they can go be all high minded. Like, well, technically it did. That was a choice, but we just played around with it. It's just like, no, guys, come on. I just felt like that was so cheap. And it it just ends on like a really just sour note. And kind of just to go into the last decision for the episode, did you choose to shoot Joan or to tank Clint's deal? Clint's, he's the farmer guy?
Yeah. Okay. The one who made vegetables.
Or vegetable guy.
Wait, is it Clint or Cliff? Which one was it?
Clint, okay, I believe. Okay. Justin, what did you choose to do?
I chose to take the deal because it was going to break out badly no matter what, but I think – in terms of how it's going to break out badly, I think taking the deal was the safest route, where it's like, okay, that way David doesn't get hanged immediately kind of thing. He immediately screws over the deal just because he's David. So, but I felt like that was a little bit better. And it seems like, you know, you feel like you could at least regroup. It's like, okay, hey, this is cool. We lost one person, but we can leave and just deal with it. And then that's when all hell breaks loose, which it wasn't surprising it was breaking loose, because the instant of like, hey, by the way, there's a bunch of zombies outside. I think we should be a little bit concerned about that. You kind of know where it's going either way you choose.
Nick, what did you choose to do?
I chose to take the deal because tactically we were getting to a point where Joan was being super dumb. We didn't even talk about that. She's trying to appear like this people's savior, but she's acting like a supervillain, like saying like, you get to save one.
Yeah.
Oh, you picked the wrong one. And I'm like, are you the fucking Riddler right now? How do you have public support?
That's what I thought too.
No, she's clearly Lex Luthor, clearly. So.
Yeah, yes. And then
she's monologuing.
And then what's his name? Hat guy that offers
Clint,
the deal.
Clint.
Yeah.
Vegetable man.
He comes up and he's like, whoa, you are acting super crazy right now. Let's dial it back. Dial it back a little bit. We're going to let these guys go because that's how we do. We don't murder people in town squares. That's a little dictatorish. And I'm like, okay, if we go and we come back, there's a structure here now where he has power and Joan's position is weaker. If we fight now, we have to fight everybody. And that doesn't make a lot of sense, David. So if we go out, we can maybe sneak our way back around, David. Maybe we can even get some support from Clint and overthrow Joan from the inside with little bloodshed, David. But you decided that even though I take the deal, you're going to fuck up and just decide to go throw all anarchy, even when your goddamn kid is there. You are the worst. But that's how I felt.
Well, and also the thing, too, it's like, of all the people take hostage, why take hostage the dude who made the deal? Like, oh, hey, you know. We should probably stay cool. And he's like, yeah, screw you. I'm taking you hostage for this. And I'm like, didn't you have gone for Joan?
I'll kill him. I swear I will. And Joan's like, I just murdered two people in front of me. Do it. He just undermined my authority. Kill his ass. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
God, David's
John,
dumb.
What decision did you make?
Also, one last detail, though. I love the fact that they found Badger's body and put it on display. They're like, look, see, David murdered that guy. Oh, yeah. It was kind of a nice little callback there.
That's who the second guy was. I couldn't.
Yeah.
No, but I chose to take the deal as well. And, like, with the David thing, this is the point where it's just like, that seems too aggressive. Like, you seem... From the way you've been written at this point, you understand when the cards are a little too high, and you would have been able to control yourself a little better than that. Mm-hmm. It seemed like, again, oh, we need to have one more big thing because we've got another episode to go. On another hand, and this is me again, just like placating him.
He's actually a really good guy.
No, it's more like it's when he does things like this, it feels like fear. Like, okay, well, I don't know what to do. If I'm not having to fight.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like you said, it's conflict oriented. So yeah, definitely. I agree.
Yeah. And so like, he's just like, I want to fight. He's just a very angry person. So like, I get some of it, but at the same time, it didn't seem like he's smart enough to know this is not the time and place. So, yeah. But oh yeah, I took the deal. That's whatever.
Man, I'm savage. I totally shot Joan. I did not care at all. Thing, you're going to kill David? Fine. I was like, yes, kill him. Finally, get me rid of him.
You let your
feelings
for these characters really affect all your decisions. Just like, I hate all these characters. Kill everybody.
Is Clementine
pretty
here?
Much.
No, fuck him.
No, she is there. But yeah, I mean, yeah, of course, after I decided to shoot Joan in the eye, I was like, oh, that was cool. Like, all hell breaks loose. Walkers break in. Kate, I guess, blows up or whatever. It's just like, all right, that happened, I guess. It was just leading up to that moment. But then, you know, I saved David's life. And I it's weird because I went online. I wanted to see what the outcome of the other decision was. And I feel like the decision that I picked just had, like, better writing overall, maybe. I mean, maybe it's just weird because of Javi's reacting. You know, because is that what the decision that Javi would make even though we're controlling Javi? It's weird. But with David, I just didn't feel like, okay, this makes sense of David. Now he's justifiably angry. And now it's just like, we just need to get out of here at this point. Whereas with the other decision, it just feels so inauthentic and just like weird. And again, it's just the inconsistencies of David's character in that regard. Just like, I'm glad I made the decision that I made because I just think it makes sense narratively.
For David.
Yeah. For, I completely agree.
Yeah, the decision that I made, yeah.
David's always better when he's reacting rather than acting. He's always much more justified.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely, Nick. Yeah, his reactions when I shot Joan felt like this is in line with his character, whereas in the opposite, it's just like, okay. But yeah, overall, just kind of going the final thoughts for the entire thing. Again, like I said, I felt this was the weakest episode, much like all of kind of the fourth episodes of all of Telltale series. I felt like the writing was extremely spotty. There's constant like inconsistencies of a lot of the characters. A lot of the particular scenes when it kind of comes to like more romantic dialogue feels like really ham-fisted. The only parts I really liked, again, are it's when I'm having a conversation with Clementine, which again, that shows you I just don't understand why they made the decision to move away from her story. It's really apparent at this point. And again, I'm basing it on my previous two experiences with season two and season one. So for me, I probably give this 6 out of 10 stupid David decisions. Justin, what are your final thoughts?
You know, maybe I'm just a huge Telltale apologist. I didn't dislike this game. I mean, this episode a whole lot. I do agree, like, with some of the things you said about things being forced, like with things with David. And it's interesting the point you made about David being a reactive character rather than a proactive character, because it's interesting where sometimes his reactions will be justified, but then sometimes his reactions will be blown out crazy. Like in episode 2, when they break the army glass in that flashback, and it's just like, who broke that glass? Brr, 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 kind of stuff like that. But it didn't seem too out of line of his character. It did seem out of line the way that he handled with his kid with that, where just like, okay, I'm going to go fight this war. Gabe, you come with me. We're going to help out kind of thing. And I'm just like, maybe not do that. And also, I guess one thing I thought was kind of funny with, I mean, do we want to say the exact thing that happened at the ending here? Can I include
that?
Yeah,
go ahead. I don't care.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course, you hate everybody in this game. But anyways, there's the final bit when they reveal that apparently, again, due to plot contrivances, you know, Kate couldn't hear the message that you were saying through the walkie-talkie. Right. She drives into the truck, with the truck into the town, and then she crashes through the fence. The truck seems to blow up and kill her. I mean, that's unclear, apparently.
We don't
and then
see
all the walkers
it,
are coming in. So it's, again, it is a thing that's all leading up to this next big episode, which will be just like the ending of every other episode, but there's a giant horde of walkers coming. I mean, it seems like that's always how these seasons end.
Yeah.
You know, and I liked it overall. I didn't think the writing was as spotty as you guys said it was. It just wasn't as, it wasn't as moving. Like, even last episode, which everyone criticized as well, like, critically outside of us, I thought that was still a pretty good episode. It was still very strongly written because it felt like it was moving things forward, not just the pieces. And here, it was all very like, you know, hey, let's quiet down and let's get to know everybody a little bit. It was a little weird. But I'm so conflicted because it's like, again, I don't hate it. But at the same time, it's kind of in the middle there for me with these episodes. Where I'm like, yeah, I felt the first two episodes were a little spottier in comparison, but this one also had some good parts to it. So I think I will ultimately give it, let's see, 8 out of 10 random IT technicians that apparently you knock out when Gabe tries to attack you. Because that dude was like the least threatening looking guard I've ever seen. Just, he looked like some dude just like with this simple hipster beard on him kind of thing.
A lot of hipster beards in this town. What was it? What's it called? Crawford? What's Richmond. Town called again? What was it called?
Richmond.
Richmond. That's it. Whatever. I don't remember. I don't care about all those people. Nick, what are your final thoughts?
I think that this, I've really liked season 3 overall. I'm surprised how much I liked it since we switched up main characters. This episode is the weakest out of this season. I still feel like it is definitely it's pretty compelling when it's really upping the illusion of choice on it. And that's what these games have always been about, is that, you know, Telltale is the master of tricking you into thinking you have more choice than you actually do. It's all a big magic trick. And the
coloring book.
Yeah. And then the,
I like to describe it.
Where it's at its best is where it's really tricking you. It's really sleight of handing its way to making you feel like, wow, what a really robust decision I made. And this one, it's a little more street magic where you might see a little behind the scenes too much. And it feels a little more linear, like, you know, you can't escape the town, like, there's no way to escape, so we gotta do this, oh, well, we gotta, do, like, you know, Kate didn't hear you, so she ends up driving anyways, it just feels a little more narratively, singularly focused, and to the point where some of the writing is better when you lean into certain decisions rather than other decisions, like leaning to, you know, romancing Kate. You kind of like Kate better if you're romancing her rather than you're not. And she kind of becomes another whiny character if you're not. If you, you know, choose near the end, you know, with David, it just kind of goes against his character, makes him a little bit more unlikable. It just, for a game series that's all about choices, I feel like this one is very enjoyable if you make certain choices rather than any choice, yeah. Which is not a mark in its cap. But I did have fun. So, and we should mention that Gabe has a really good moment at the end that I really like, where I told him not to chase after his dad when he's going after vengeance, and he's like, okay, yeah, this situation is too hot, and you're right. And I'm like, oh, wow, he had a moment of clarity, a rare moment of clarity for Gabe. So that's one.
Gabe listening to logic? That's so crazy.
I know. One for logic, Gabe. And then, you know, you're going to have to do a lot more to, you know, to get rid of the negative 27 you have, but fine. But yeah, I'm going to give this one 7 awkward conversations about menstrual cycles out of 10.
Man, they're so awkward.
Did you guys notice, too, like, they suddenly found gas grenades and gas masks really quickly at the end there, where it's like, hey, we got these tear gas bombs that we're throwing everywhere, and I'm like, didn't the fight just break out? Did you just have these tear gas just in case something happened?
They were trying to
lying around.
They were trying to deter a Black Lives Matter movement. It was coming.
By the way, I totally told Gabe to just go out there and protect his dad, because I was hoping maybe he'll get shot.
What did he do?
He just used his red out there. He was just like, I'll save you, Dad, and then you just kind of cut, and it's the Kate scene after that, and then the zombies come in. You don't know what happens to Gabe. I mean, John, I saved you for last, because we are clearly just on opposite sides for this season, so what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I think, like I said at the beginning, I have to echo those thoughts, that I think this is the weakest episode. I think it's the weakest written, at least in terms of big moments. Mm-hmm. As I've talked this out and discussed it with you guys, there's a lot of smaller stuff going on that I think warrants this change. You had said that, like, I don't see why we switched the main character, you know, and I forgot that happened because, again, I didn't play season 2.
Yeah.
But it's more like, I don't know, the decision making at least in the way I'm playing it, is like I can see Clem just kind of grow up differently. The moment with the whole menstrual cycle thing is so small yet so large, yeah. And it's so it's talking so much, and a player's reaction to that and how they treat Clem,
it feels real.
It feels real, yeah. And it's this season, and I think the way this episode ends is really bad. I think they write conflict really poorly in this episode. It seems like more like we just need to get something going. It's funny because like I'm thinking about this season so far as a whole, which is still one of my favorite games this year, honestly.
Oh wow.
Watching, I'd rather play this as one whole experience. Like I don't want it cut up in the episode format necessarily. I would like to just ride this whole thing out. I really like spending time as Javi and delving in his relationships with Kate or David or Gabe and Clementine. And they're all so subtle in different ways. And he's playing a different role so many different times. And again, I think it has largely to do with the fact that he is an Hispanic male and he sees like the most important, like the biggest other person in his life right now is his brother. And I don't know. It's a very unique experience for me.
Are you telling me I can't relate because I'm a cracker, John? That's racist.
No, I'm not. I don't think that's the thing about this episode, especially after talking to you guys too, is like it, cause when I was just talking to Chris about it, it seemed like maybe sometimes it was written for me and other people might disconnect from it, but it's like, you know, having a wider gamut this time around, it's kind of like, no, people can enjoy this from their own perspectives. But for me, it feels so singularly focused at someone like me. And it's a very wonderful thing to experience. Again, this episode is weak. So as a reviewer, I have to be objective and I'd give it 7.5 home runs out of 10. But this whole season, I think, is a great risk that Telltale did. And I'm so glad they took it. And I don't know. It's just, did I once complain about the technical difficulties? No.
You did not. Which I thought you would. Because, by the way, I mean, yeah, people's faces were gone.
Yeah, mine didn't happen that big because I played it later. I played it yesterday.
Oh, okay.
But there still were some, and I was like, whatever.
Yeah, no, I didn't have as many technical issues either, so, yeah.
And it's just kind of like, because I'm so invested in Javi and like how he's going to react to all of these people. It's a beautiful story. I love it so much. It is what it is.
So what, 7.5 out of 10 home runs?
Yeah.
Home runs.
That's for good. This episode.
John, that was actually very eloquent. And I'm just going to give this review 10 out of 10 zombies. Or no, they're not called zombies. They're called walkers. I forget because we can't.
No. They're called muertos.
Muertos, you're right. I like that.
And also, Telltale, fix your shit. Someone's got to say it.
Now, before we go, I just want everyone to, you know, hawk all their stuff right now. So, Nick, how can people follow you and all your great content on Unapologetic? I can't say that word. That's why I said UGO.
Just UGO.
Unapologetic Geek Out.
A chance to selfishly plug. I thought you'd never ask. But you can find all of our great content at unapologeticgeekout.com, or if that's too long to remember, you can follow us at UGO Podcast, at UGO Podcast on Twitter or Instagram. You can find us on Facebook, and of course on the iTunes store as UGO Podcast. Give us those reviews on iTunes as well, or just, you know, subscribe to us. Makes us feel good. I get a little tickle every time you do it. Don't ask me how. It was a very expensive progress. I'm more machine than man now. But Justin...
Well, you can find me on Facebook under Justin Zarian. You can find me on Twitter at JJZGamer. You can occasionally find me on UGO on a couple episodes, just, you know, random guest star kind of thing. But most often you can find me at one of us. Sorry?
I'm sorry. Did you want to announce what we're doing together, Justin? Since we're here?
We're still working out the kinks of it. But yeah, we're apparently doing this kind of like Netflix and Kill podcast where we're talking about movies or things that we watch that have significant violence in them or a certain death. And we use that as a basis to catch up on certain films.
Yeah. In the planning phases right now, but look forward to it because me and Justin, we're in the works right now.
Yeah, but then otherwise you can find me on oneofus.net. I continually write the notes for Breakfast Pub. And I believe I just sent the first batch to you guys, Chris. And the next one's... I apologize for them being long. I try to make them the most interesting news because I cut out a whole ton of other stuff that's just celebrity gossip. But yeah, so you can find me on any of those places.
Thank you, Justin. John, how can people follow you?
I am _John Romo on Twitter. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Man, I don't have anything else to...
yeah, your Facebook.
I co-host a podcast called We Are Error on oneofus.net.
You can follow that at... What is it? At We Are Errorcast on Twitter?
I believe so.
That's pretty good, pretty good. You should follow that Twitter. And, of course, you can follow me at Chris J. Herman. Again, guys, thank you so much, and we'll be back to review episode 5 of The Walking Dead when they release it in 5 months. Ta-ta!
I mean, it's something female women have.